Welcome back to the Richfield League from the South. Welcome back. Talking fantasy football's what we're all about. Well, the names have all changed from your team last year, and your chicken bowl dreams might come true, I hear. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya. Yeah, we drafted a lot, and our commissioner is Scott. Welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the South Richfield Fantasy Football League podcast show. I'm your commissioner, Scott Luther, and with me tonight is Matt Coma. Hey, Matt.
Hey, commissioner. Glad to be here.
How's it going? How's everything been since the draft?
Well, as each day has passed on the draft, I feel worse and worse about my team. But the rest of life is going good, so it's balancing out.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear the your personal life is a 9, but your draft was only a 2. But
yeah.
Hey, I meant to ask you, All Hail the Beachmaster, what is that from?
That is a reference to a cartoon called Futurama. They had an episode in there where they're talking about the life cycle of the elephant seal. And the gist of it was that the fattest, loudest, rudest of the elephant seals was hailed as the Beachmaster. So if you're fat, loud, and rude, then maybe you should try to get reincarnated as an elephant seal, because it seems like that's a kind of animal that might favor your personality.
And that can actually fit a few of us owners here in this league.
Right.
Anyway, I'm not going to name any
names. So myself included.
So anyway, we had our draft about a week and a half ago, and for all of our listeners out there who are not in our league, this is how it all shook out. So with the number one pick, I had Antonio Brown, followed by Dave with Julio Jones. Ben took Todd Gurley. Andy took Odell Beckham Jr. Dean took A.J. Green. Todd took Rob Gronkowski with number 6. Number 7 overall was Frank Rando and DeAndre Hopkins. Matt, you took Le'Veon Bell, the 8th pick. John Drake took Adrian Peterson with the 9th pick. Tony took Dez Bryant. Mike Bland took Lamar Miller with the 11th pick. And the last pick of the first round was David Johnson. And that was made by Gary. And Matt, you were saying Gary probably had the best value pick in the first round.
Yeah, in a lot of other drafts, you'll see that David Johnson, running back for the Arizona Cardinals, rated much, much higher than 12th pick overall. In some cases, he was taken as the first pick. If you look at the kind of offense that Arizona is going to run, it's definitely going to feature Johnson as their go-to option, specifically on the ground game.
Yeah, in the last few weeks of the regular season, he really came into his own last year. So,
right, out of nowhere, really.
It was kind of interesting that, you know, there were really 4 other running backs taken ahead of him. You could say Todd Gurley was a good pick at running back for Ben with number 3. But maybe Johnson should have been the 2nd running back off the board instead of the 5th. But, hey, we'll find out as the season plays out.
And who was the 2nd back taken?
Le'Veon Bell, and he's going to miss the first 3 games.
Yeah, I guess that whoever picked him didn't really want to win this year. Wait a minute, that was me.
But, in all fairness, if he was there 16 games, he'd probably justify a 2nd or 3rd overall running back selected, I would think.
Well, it's how you finish the season.
Right. It's interesting when you look at this year's first round. This is the first season ever where we have not had a quarterback selected in the first round. We've always had at least two taken. Ever since we started this league in 2004, we've had at least two quarterbacks taken in the first round. Last year, we had four quarterbacks taken in the first round. It was Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. I think you took Andrew Luck with the very first overall pick last year.
Yeah, again, I did not want to win last year. So I picked a guy who lacerated his kidney third game in.
You didn't know that going in, though.
Well, when I pick him, it's pretty much going to be which major organ is he going to have a laceration on after 4 weeks into the season.
And also Peyton Manning and Russell Wilson were taken in the first round last year. So it's interesting to see what's going on here. We have six wide receivers, five running backs, and one tight end. We've never had six wide receivers taken in the first round. The most we've ever had before was three back in 2011 and 2015. So as the league has evolved to a passing league, we're seeing more and more wide receivers taken. We have not changed our scoring system ever. We're still doing the PPR, and people are just finally deciding, hey, I'm going to take these wide receivers because they're going to give me so much more points than the running backs.
Yeah, I think there's some stat that they often use in points over next available player or replacement player. And when you look at one quarterback to the next, you aren't going to have as huge a drop-off as you are after that first tier of wide receivers.
Right, and I guess our guys finally decided, hey, I'm gonna not go for that quarterback in the first round. You'd think some would, especially since we've always had at least two taken. It is our first season without Peyton Manning in the league. He's been a first-round pick 10 times out of the 12 seasons he was still playing. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think next was Adrian Peterson, has been taken 8 times in the first round. So he's been a constant presence in round one as well. There are overall over the whole draft, our 13 drafts that we've had, we have had six players that have been taken every year. And can you guess some of them, Matt?
The criteria again is every season since
2004.
Well, you got to think who's been in the league that long. I would say Tom Brady.
Ding, ding, ding.
Would Adrian Peterson be in there?
No, he was drafted in 07.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah. Carson Palmer.
Yep, you got the two quarterbacks off the list.
Okay. Well, our league always needs tight ends, so who's been great for a long time?
There are two tight ends on the list.
Jason Witten.
Right.
And would Antonio Gates be there?
Yeah, Kent State product.
Antonio Gates.
So he's been selected 13 times, and so has Witten.
And I'm not even going to be able to guess the next two. Or would it be running backs or kickers?
The running backs aren't holding up.
Sebastian Janikowski.
No. Actually, I didn't put the defenses on here. And actually, the Patriots have been taken every year. I didn't even count them. I forgot about the defenses. But we have two wide receivers also on the list. So think of longevity. There's a really old guy with a senior after his name, and that is Steve Smith Sr.
Oh, okay. Longtime Carolina Panther.
Yeah, and then he was with the Ravens.
Yes.
He's still with the Ravens, right?
I think so, yeah.
Somebody took him. And then our long-haired friend out in Arizona,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry. So Larry and Carson, they've both been selected every season by our league. And I was thinking Eli and Philip Rivers would also have a chance because they came into the league in 04, but they were not drafted. And so was Roethlisberger.
Right.
But they were not drafted Rivers, in 04. So even though they came into the league, nobody took them. Nobody took a flyer on him back then. So, well, Eli didn't start for what? They kind of threw him in.
Six games, I think, is what it was. Kurt Warner was the quarterback, and they were going 4-2, and the Giants were 4-2, and I think they one of those games they just lost terribly, or the offense just didn't seem like it had the get go happening, and they replaced Kurt Warner with Eli Manning.
Right.
Which was kind of shocking because 4-6 is not a bad record.
No. No. So, and as far as which players in our draft in our league have actually won the most Chicken Bowls, you think of the longevity again. Who's been in our league for 13 seasons?
Well, you brought up his name before. I got to say Peyton Manning.
Yeah, he has won 3 Chicken Bowls back in 2006, 2007, and 2010. And then one running back who brought many a fantasy owner a championship.
LaDainian Tomlinson?
Oh, that's a good guess, but this other player has also won 3 Chicken Bowls. And he, I'll give you a hint, Jacksonville. And he's been out of the league for a few years.
Okay. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Right. He won the Chicken Bowl in 08, 09, and 2012. So long to our two. These guys aren't going to rack up any more Chicken Bowls unless they come out of retirement. So there's a few players who have 2 under their belts.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Hartley, the kicker from New Orleans from a few years ago, has a couple. Mercedes Lewis from Jacksonville, the tight end, had a couple. There's some others. I don't have them all in front of me, but those two stuck in my head for some reason. So if we go back through that first round, just kind of highlighting some of the players. Antonio Brown, first overall pick. He has been with 5 different owners the last 5 seasons, so this year he's going to be running with Cutting Hay and see if he can bring me some points. I think he will. He's going to see the Browns twice. I didn't see if Pittsburgh's playing the Browns week 17, though, when there's really no game. I should have looked at that before I drafted him. I think he'll do just fine for me either way.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys that defies the stereotype. He's only, in quotes, only 6 foot tall. Not necessarily the biggest receiver, but certainly the most dynamic player, arguably the most dynamic player in the league right now. And certainly last year set himself apart as a fantasy stud.
Yeah, even with Ben going down for a few games.
Yeah,
he still was outrageous. Number 2 overall, Julio Jones. This is the highest he's ever been selected, and it's also the second time that he's been on Dave's team. Now, if the Browns would have drafted him when he came out of college, you think he'd be this good?
No. No, nobody the Browns would ever draft would ever be as good as they possibly can. It's the potential killer.
Our third wide receiver taken was Odell Beckham Jr. He went 5th last year. He's going 4th this year. So he's going to be dynamic. He's going to have that rookie Sterling Shepard on the other side of him, it looks like. So it'll be interesting to see how the Giants do this year.
Yeah, it used to be that they would be bad 1 year, good the next year, bad 1 year, good the next year.
Yeah, the even-odd thing.
Yeah, this year, though, they don't have their head coach. Tom Coughlin is the head coach. The new guy they have, McAdoo,
right?
I believe his name is. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. He goes from offensive coordinator, I believe, to the head coach. So he's never been a terribly dynamic guy. He's one of these guys that's been a career coordinator. So you often wonder, you know, if you didn't have it 20 years ago, why do you suddenly have it now? You know, the ability to be a head coach.
Right.
So you got to wonder, is the guy a placeholder? You know, or is he just going to be there for the end of Eli's career?
Well, it's interesting about the Giants. I was reading an article, and there were either five or six games last year that they lost due to bad clock management. And I mean, they could have had a winning record last season, but they lost those first two games. They lost that game against the Cowboys when they were passing on like second and third down instead of running down the clock, and gave Tony Romo too much time. That happened like three times for them. So maybe, you know, it's time for Tom to hang it up and to bring in McAdoo as the head coach.
We'll see how they do this year.
Yeah. Let's see. AJ Green. It's his second straight season with Dean, number five pick overall. Gronk. He was a fourth pick last season. He's number six this season. Todd took him. And he is only one of two tight ends ever selected in the first round. So he's been selected three times in our league in the first round. And the other tight end selected in the first round, Seattle Seahawk Jimmy Graham. But Seattle Seahawk Jimmy Graham is not worth a first round pick anymore. Maybe New Orleans Jimmy Graham is.
Right. Is Jimmy Graham even playing, or is he still hurt?
I don't even know.
You thought that once they got Jimmy Graham, that was the final key puzzle for Seattle, and they were just going to be Jim did not seem to fit in or gel with that team at all. I think he was injured by week five and pretty much pulled for the rest of the season by halfway through.
Right.
Certainly one of the major disappointments.
Yeah, and I can't remember who had him last year, but...
Probably me.
It may have been. I mean, I can tell
last
you.
Last year was just a terrible year.
Last year, let's see, it was Mike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, it does say, now that I'm looking, Jimmy Graham is questionable for week one. So, I don't know. He's still in bad shape.
Yeah, you don't even see his name pop up anymore. But there was a guy that went from a dominating force where you thought he was going to be one of the all-time greats at his position to not even a footnote.
Adrian Peterson, we talked about him. He's been selected 10 straight years, and this is his eighth time in the first round, I believe I said. Or actually, eighth time in the first round out of 10 years. That first year, he was selected number 70 by me, and it was a year I won the championship back in 2007.
That was a good pick.
I think I... No, I didn't win. Sorry. It was a good pick, but I didn't win.
Still a good pick,
that year. But he has averaged the eighth overall selection in our league over the last nine seasons. If you take out that 70 from his rookie year. So there was a year he was hurt. He was number like 34 or 36 taken, but every other year he's in the first round. So, and then, go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, aside from the fact that he beats his kid, as far as all-time greats, I think you got to throw Adrian Peterson into that category for running backs.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But look at, you got him. I don't want to really put him in the same category as OJ.
Yeah.
That would not be fair.
No.
I mean, I got... I know my parents beat me when, when I was a child, but nothing, you know, nothing too severe. I never broken your skin.
Were your scrot split? When you were 4 years old?
I guess that is bad.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. But he, you know, he does have, he has over 11,000 rushing yards for his career. 97 rushing touchdowns. So he'll probably get to 100, what, by week three?
Yeah.
Maybe even sooner with no quarterback. Well, they have Sam Bradford now, but.
Yeah. And he basically lost an entire year. What, 2014? He was out of the league, suspended.
Yeah, he had that one game. He did play one game.
Oh,
before
okay.
Before he was suspended. So anyway, and then the Walking Dez, they took their namesake Dez Bryant, and Tony is a huge Cowboys fan. And he has selected Dez Bryant 4 years out of the seven that Dez has been in the league. Also, Tony has taken Tony Romo 5 seasons. And I was trying to get him to select them during the draft. And or even Dak Prescott, but he wouldn't bite. So we'll see if Romo gets picked up like week six or something. Who knows when
he'll be back. I have a feeling. Well, it's supposedly week eight right now. Or at least last that I heard. But I have a feeling we might see Dak Prescott end up on the Walking Dez before too long.
You're probably right. Do you know, I checked this out too. Who has been selected the most by a single owner? So, you know, Tony's taken Tony Romo 5 times. Uh-huh. Dez Bryant 4 times. But there are people who have been taken more than that. So, John Drake...
Browns super fan has got to have taken somebody from the Browns. Is it the Browns defense?
No, it's Phil Dawson. 7 seasons. Yeah. And he took him this year, too, even though he's with the Niners. But it was more I can't think of what I want to say, but, you know.
a commemorative pick?
Yeah, I guess. He's also taken Vincent Jackson 5 times, which is kind of strange. He must just like him.
I suppose. And what's not to like?
Yeah, and it's funny, when you look at John Drake and his Browns, John has taken 29 Browns in 13 seasons. No one else is even close.
The Cleveland Browns aren't even that close.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it was kind of weird because I looked and he had taken 22 Browns over the last 9 seasons, but he didn't take any in like 06 or 07. So I'm like, what? Is there a mistake here? How could he not take any Browns in 06 or 07? So then I went back to 05. He took 4 Browns in 2005. Actually, he took 5 Browns in 2005, now that I'm looking. He took Antonio Bryant, Ruben Drones, Steve Hyden, Andre Davis, and Dennis Northcutt. He took, like, all their receivers. And they were all round 9 and further. So, I don't know. He just loves his Browns. Gary has never taken a Brown. And Gary's a big Browns fan, too. I think, you know, most of us are Browns fans, but... Gary wants to win. You've never taken a Brown through the last 9 seasons. I don't know if you took any before that. I'm looking at 05. You haven't. And I don't have an 04 in front of me, but you may have never taken a Brown.
No.
You're smart.
Well, looking at my record, you wouldn't know.
Well, that's true.
I may... My record is Browns Town. That's what it really is.
And then Andy Klein, his love for kickers, and in particular, Steven Gostkowski. He's taken him 6 years in a row, or six seasons. Not six in a row, but he has taken him 6 seasons, including in the 5th round this year, which may be the earliest we've ever had a kicker taken. I don't know if that was the best move.
Might have hurt his overall draft grade.
But he
got the player he wanted.
Let's see. So if I looked at kickers and what round, this may be the earliest pick overall for a kicker. So that was round, well, someone's taken one in the 51st pick overall, and that was Tim O'Dean's beat Andy. In 2008, he took a kicker with a 51st pick. Andy was the 52nd pick this year, so...
Okay. He almost had it.
He almost had it. Next year, I'd say take a kicker in the fourth round, Andy, if you really want to break that record.
Just so you go down in history.
Yep. Andy has also taken... Oh, what's his head?
Jason Witten,
the tight end. From Dallas, which isn't a bad pick. He's taken him 5 times. Frank has taken Reggie Bush 5 seasons. And this is the first season that Reggie hasn't been selected, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he even on a team?
It says he's with Buffalo. Oh, yeah, he's with Buffalo. Tatanka, Buffalo. 31 years old out of USC.
Time to hang it up.
Yeah. You've taken down...
I was going to say the same thing. I've taken Derek McFadden a lot.
Darren or Derek?
Excuse me. Darren.
I've taken Derek.
Derek McFadden. I've taken McFadden a lot.
And Mike has taken Stafford 5 years. He took him again this year. So those are your top... I guess player love.
So you can see why I've rarely done well in this league, taking a running back that never produces 5 times.
It always surprises me when you take him, but I count on you taking him. You didn't take him this season.
He's one of those guys in college. He was so dynamic, and I thought, this guy is going to be huge in the NFL. He can do everything. This was right around the time when that Wildcat offense was coming out. And here's a guy who could run, throw, catch. He could do everything. People were even saying he's like Adrian Peterson, only faster. No, not quite. Mm. Not quite.
Well, you know what? You might want to pick him up just in case he becomes that.
Well, I did look at how he's doing, and he's on Dallas, and right now he sustained an injury to his right arm where he might not be able to extend it straight ever again.
What?
It was an injury that was, quote, at home, whatever that means.
Huh. Well, you can't stiff arm people if you can't put your arm straight.
You can only stiff lefty.
Can you even drive without a straight arm? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Let's see. No, you can drive. All right. So draft grades for this year's draft have come in from the CBS gurus. They actually came in like an hour after the draft, a couple hours after. It was pretty quick. So here's what they're how they're ranking them. It's pretty much based on how you selected and position you were in and who you took, kind of the value that they place on each player. So the best draft goes to me.
Fancy that.
A+. And it says I'm going to score the most points per week, which is great. Let's hope that they're right.
Well, going through your team, you have, as quarterback, Blake Bortles. It's considered to be his breakout season this year. He's got a high-powered offense.
Let's hope.
You have two great running backs in Rawls and Charles. Rawls, I think, was the 72nd overall pick, and you got him. And in some leagues, I've seen him as a first-round pick. So you got him, what, round six? Very last pick? Tremendous value.
Yeah, I got him really late.
Sammy Watkins, Brandon Marshall, Antonio Brown.
I got some good wide receivers there.
Very good wide receivers. Kelsey and Eifert as your tight ends. You know, Kelsey's better than average. But here's what's going to set it aside for you. The Bills defense.
You think?
It's a Tonka, yes.
And I took Dan Carpenter. It took me 4 minutes to select Dan Carpenter.
Right.
With my last pick.
I predict that you will win by a point and a half twice this year. And it'll be through Dan Carpenter's kicking.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I hope it's against, like, John. Since I can never beat him.
This is your year. So who got who was next?
So next was Gary. He had an A. And he wasn't even at the draft. So he picked his first eight picks on his own. And then he called me and told me what to do. So obviously my drafting gave him the A.
Yes.
Because I think he was maybe a B minus before that.
Well, had he just put it all in your hands, it obviously would have been an A plus. So
yeah.
Oh, well. If you brought up half of that to get to an A, he had to be at least a C.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, probably. But he has a good team. He has, you know, the most, as usual, he has the most running backs in the league. I think he took six running backs. And, you know, he has David Johnson, Mark Ingram, DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry. So he's the two Titans. He also has Justin Forsett, who, you know, Justin Forsett was cut, and then he re-signed with Baltimore 2 days later and received a higher salary than when he was cut. He got a $100,000 bonus to come back.
Uh-huh.
And then he also had a performance clause put in his contract that he just has to rush for more than he did last year, which was 641 yards. So it looks like, and he's still listed as their number one running back, and everybody was going crazy and trying to pick up like Terrence West and Buck Allen. When all along, it looks like it was just a move by Baltimore to do some roster management. And he was, you know, cut, and they sat down with him and said, we're going to cut you, but we're going to re-sign you in a couple of days, and here's $100,000.
For your troubles.
Yeah, exactly. So he has, you know, he has at least, you know, Johnson, Ingram, one of the Titans for a set, and then he also has Chris Ivory, who was not bad last year, and he's going to get a lot of goal line work probably in Jacksonville. So Gary has a good rushing team as usual. Next is we got two teams with B pluses. Dave Barta, Mainville Team Rocket, and Dean. Moving down, we got the B crew. D's Nuts, Mike Bland, with a B, and he's only projected to have a fewer, like a half a point less than Dave and Dean. But they draft you on your selection, or they grade you on your selection. So he got a B for the draft. Faga Beefy, Ben Morrison, B minus. So you got these three Rockets right here. Barta, Bland, and Morrison, all with the B
and Ben,
plus. Morrison.
Barta, Bland, and Ben, all Bs.
Oh, that's true. And they're all in the, they all got the Bs. Now, where are you at?
I'm in the Cs for coma. C minus. Which is pretty much what I graduated from UT with.
You did have a draft.
Wait a minute here.
You did have a
C minus. That's terrible. What, the guy below me is listed with the C.
Well, he did have a better draft than you, Matt, but they're going by points per week. You're going to score more points than he will, But he still had a better draft.
Shitty job. Yes. You don't think taking that tight end in the third round was a smart thing? Huh. All right. So how did the rest do here? We have Todd with a C plus.
Yep.
And
Tony with a C.
Tony with a C.
And his name starts with Caron.
Four D's. Oh, that's C. Yeah.
That's weird because you do have the C.
And Todd Bard is almost a B.
Almost a B. But you do have John Drake with a D plus. Yeah. And then you have John with his D plus, you know, he talks a big game. He's been getting better every season. I think he took a big step backwards this season. Unless he can totally manage
He was getting better each season because he was drafting fewer and fewer Browns.
And what did he do this year
on the Dogs?
I'm not sure how many Browns he took this season. I know he took Josh Gordon.
Let's see. He took Robert Griffin, Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, Phil Dawson, and Bengals defense. Well, that doesn't count, but enough Browns.
He loves those Browns.
Three Browns too many.
So he got the D plus. And then you have Frank with a D. And then you have Andy with a D minus. And Andy with his Steelers defense in the fourth round. He didn't even get the best defense. Or at least, you know, the best projected defense, which I think is Carolina. And then you'd probably go with Denver. So the two, you know, Super Bowl teams from last year have the best defenses. Right. But Andy has his system. And he's going to stick to it. Just fill out that roster. Who do I need? But I have to compliment Andy on his drafting. He was a lot quicker than he's been in a long time because he had the app in front of him, which I'm thinking about making mandatory for the draft, and everyone can make their own picks. It worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It's
Well, I was going to say, so what big questions do you think you have for this season?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Based on everything that we've seen here.
Based on everything we've seen, questions I have for this season. So Dave got a B+. Will he make the playoffs for the first time since 2011? He's back with his Mainville
team. Yes, he will.
I think you're right. I think he will pick up a wild card spot. I think he will challenge for the Bo Duke division crown against me. I'm a little worried. I have two home games against Dave, and I am terrible at home. I don't know why. And I don't know how Dave pulled that off. He must have talked to the league scheduling office and said, make sure I'm traveling to Cotton Hay each game this season. So, will Ben catch Mike this season for the most leagues and for the most wins in the league? So Mike has 96 wins overall, and Ben has 95. And Ben is 13-10 against Mike overall. Can Ben pass Mike and reclaim most wins?
Those two are the Rain Men of fantasy football. You sit there and you look at their picks and they know what they're doing. I'm not even sure if they know they have underpants on. I'm a very excellent drafter. And yet somehow every year they have these tremendous records. They pick up guys that nobody's ever heard of. These guys just crap out gold bricks of luck. This coming from the guy who has the most losses in the entire league and the least amount of wins. So what do I know? I'm a very excellent drafter. Very excellent drafter.
And I think Ben will pass him. I think I like Ben's team a little more than Mike's. It's going to be close. I do think that both of them will make the playoffs, actually, as wildcard teams. So we'll see. But I think
that the Loop division is a little bit lighter, so Ben might be able to get a few more wins that way than Mike will.
I was looking at that too, and if you look at those draft grades, you have the top six teams that all got B's or better. Three are in each division, so we'll see what happens. It looks pretty even, except for, like you said, Ben has John and Frank in his division, which isn't, it's not the worst, because it's not, I mean, they're not, who knows what's going to happen.
No, it's a couple, right. It's a couple of D grades versus one D, a C minus grade.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. Will you be able to beat me this season? Lifetime, you're 5-10 against me. but look at when you're playing me. You're playing me in week 5. Unfortunately for me, I wasn't really paying attention as I was picking my players. And Bortles, Charles, Kelsey, and Rawls all are on bye in week 5. And I'm like, I looked at it, I'm like, oh gosh, I'm just going to lose week 5. But if I'm playing you, I might have a chance.
Well, I certainly think that you're going to win, and I'll say it like this. The only chance I have of winning this is if I set my roster week 1 and don't change it. If I start changing my roster, you will beat me. It's just like the old Madden football thing where I control the player and I try to tackle you and you just juke me one way or the other and I miss. So the more control I put into my team, the less chance I have of beating you.
Speaking of Madden, I picked up Madden 17 over the weekend, and I was playing online. I was doing this draft champions thing, and this little kid comes on. He's like, hey, man, what's up? What's up? What's up, Luth? What's up? Come on, talk to me. And I'm like, I'm having my microphone on. And he's like talking the entire first half of the game. Like, come on, talk to me. I'm bored. Ah. And I'm like, you're like 11 years old. And then he beat me because I wasn't really paying attention. It was 6-6. I scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter. And I had missed the extra point before, so I'm like, oh, I have to go for two now, which I really didn't have to do because he had missed an extra point as well. The kicking's all whack on this one. I do not like the kicking at all in this version of Madden. So I went for two instead of just trying to kick the extra point. Then he came back and scored a touchdown and beat me 13-12. Because he did kick his extra point. I don't know why he didn't do it.
Oh, man.
Damn 11-year-olds. So, if anybody has Madden on the PS4, let me know and you can beat me. Because I'm going to miss all my PATs. My last question. Game of the week. Game of the week for week 1. Frank versus John. Who will win this game?
Let's take a look here. Frank has, and John has.
Frank has Brock Osweiler and Andy Dalton, LeSean McCoy, CJ Anderson, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, which I like, Jordan Cameron, then this kicker in defense. John has Tom Brady, which he won't be starting this week. He'll probably start Derek Carr. He's not going to start RG3. Adrian Pearson, Devontae
Freeman. I got to go with John winning this.
I think you're right. This may be his best shot to win a game for at least 5 weeks. I was looking at his schedule. John's going to probably lose until week 6. If Frank doesn't win, he might lose until week 10. We will see. It's going to be tough for him to pick up a win unless somebody goes down with an injury or something. John is 9-12 lifetime against Frank. So John went over 500 for his career last season. But I don't know. He might slip back down by the end of the year. I went through each division, and I have my predicted order of finish for each division. So let me know what you think. The Beau Duke division, I put myself in first place. I know that's arrogant, but I feel really good about my team. And then I have Dave, Mike, Matt, Todd, and Andy. So that's 1-6 for the Beau division. And I have Dave and Mike making the wild card team. And then in the Luke Duke division, I have Dean, Gary, Ben as my three playoff teams with Dean winning the division. And then Tony just missing out. And then John and Frank bringing up the rear. And then I did not go and predict the playoffs yet. It might be a repeat of last year, Luther versus Ewer. I don't know.
Well, you guys share four of the same letters in your last name.
That's true.
So I think that the only difference that's separating you is an LT. And everybody knows that LT
was pulled over.
Yeah. The LT is right. And with that, I guess somehow again, Chicken Bowl champion Scott Luther will come through. Unless somebody comes through and really gets injured on your team. Your team is very strong.
Yeah, I did
hate to admit it.
I did pick up Spencer Ware, who I meant to draft, and I was sitting there during the draft talking to Tony about the team, and I said we're looking at players, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to he's like, you can handcuff this guy. I'm like, no, I have to handcuff Charles with Ware, and then I got to like round 15. I'm like, crap, I forgot to take the backup running back. Nobody else picked them up, thankfully. So I dropped one of my draft picks and put in where I had to pay $58 for him. But I think he's gonna be a top five running back in week one. So because I think the Chiefs are gonna destroy the Chargers week one. And they're going to be running a lot. And I think Ware and Shekondrick West will each get a lot of touches that game. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's just that sort of analysis that puts you as the overall champ.
Well, I have a lot of data.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking, yeah.
I have too much data on my hands. So I wanted to see, you know, what's the best combo to take? Is it running back, or in the first two or three rounds, is it wide receiver in this league? And I didn't write all that down because we already talked long enough. I think we've been talking like 50 minutes on just this draft.
Well, that's 20 minutes of editing ahead of you.
I'm not editing this. This is great stuff. All right. So any comments?
Well, looking forward to next year already. And why don't you tell the listeners out there of the weekly plan podcast schedule?
So Matt and I are planning on recording a podcast every Tuesday night. Hopefully I'll have it out by Thursday in time for the first game of the week. And we'll be reviewing each week's action. It should be a shorter podcast than this. Because we just have to go through six games and then preview upcoming matches. Kind of like I did last season. It should be good. Should be good.
Well, look forward to it. And maybe if anyone's out there interested in guest appearances.
Oh, yes.
Just contact the commissioner and he can make it all happen.
In fact, we might contact you. We might just call you at 10 o'clock at night and say, do you have a moment? I know half of you are in bed. I know Dean's in bed at like 9. Todd's in bed at like 8. Dave might be awake. Thank you all for listening to the 2016 draft review and season preview. Good luck to everyone this season.
Yep, good luck to everybody. See you at the bottom.
Adios.